This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Thank you for joining the South Dakota Department of Health's daily COVID-19 case update call. I have Dr. Josh Clayton here with me this morning to give you an update on today's cases, as well as Secretary Malcolm Risden to answer your questions. If you have any, we'll go ahead and let Dr. Clayton give an overview of today's cases, and then we'll take your questions.
As of today, we are reporting 98 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 8 new hospitalizations. We have 0 new deaths to report today. We have 127 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19. We have 521 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, we have 1,956 cases. We have 119 hospitalizations, 9 deaths, 1,064 individuals who have recovered, and in total, there has been 12,109 negative tests performed. As far as updates to the county community impact map, Davison County is being upgraded to minimal to moderate activity. For the breakdown of cases by county, we have 1 new case in Brown County, 1 in Hughes, 1 in Girald, 6 in Lincoln, 1 in McCook, 82 in Minnehaha, 4 in Turner, 1 in Union, and 2 in Yankton. For the new cases by age group, we have 6 in the 0 to 19-year age category, 17 in the 20 to 29-year age category, 26 in the 30 to 39 age category, 15 in the 40 to 49-year age category, 22 in the 50 to 59-year age category, 6 in the 60 to 69-year age category, 1 in the 70 to 79-year age category, and 5 in the 80 and older category. For new cases broken down by sex, we have 50 individuals who are males and 49 individuals who are female.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to go ahead and open the lines, and we will take your questions. We're ready for our first question.
Good morning. This is Joseph from the Capital Journal.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you. Good morning, y'all. So I was wondering if you could give the update on the Smithfield case. Of the new cases are Smithfield, and then how many also are their contacts? If you could do that whole shebang for me, please. Thank you.
We do have 801 COVID-19 cases among Smithfield employees. This does include 206 individuals who are those close contacts who themselves have become cases.
Next question.
This is Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
The CDC report only talks about recommendations, not about the outbreak itself or what went wrong, what happened at Smithfield. Will the state release its own report about how the outbreak occurred there?
So the focus of the report, which is going to be, which is out there on the website, and I'm sure that that's what you're pulling from, is on what potential recommendations, can be taken by Smithfield to prevent any potential spread within their facility. There will be no specific report, on this cluster of cases. We view it as part of the larger overall COVID-19 pandemic, and so any of the information that would be summarized with and about Smithfield would be part of an overall pandemic report that we would put together after we are hopefully through with COVID-19 in the near future.
Next question.
So that would be something done after the pandemic?
So yeah, we're putting out no specific information related to Smithfield, but we do have plans to summarize the experience or the impact of COVID-19 within the state of South Dakota. Correct.
Next question.
Hi, and good morning.
Michael from Kellogg.
Ray else from Kellogg.
I heard Ray from Kellogg.
Hi, thanks. When you said you're looking at Smithfield as part of the overall pandemic, I'm curious as to, in the modeling that you've done and projections on the spread and positive cases and hospitalizations, was there a factor in for close quarters working conditions such as ag processing and other manufacturing, like a percentage that would apply to those potential cases in those areas?
So,
you know, as you modeled in how many South Dakotans could get COVID.
So, we have looked at modeling at the state level, specifically, Sioux Falls Health Department, Avera, and Sanford have looked at models for Minnehaha and Lincoln counties. And just in general, you know, the impact of the Smithfield cluster has, meant that the overall date of the peak anticipated for those counties has moved up in time by approximately 1 to 2 weeks. It did not have an impact in the overall, hospitalization numbers that they were anticipating. We know that there are impacts of, close working conditions and close housing conditions that may have an impact, not only within the existing cluster, but also just throughout the state as individuals that are in closer proximity and are not able to maintain that social distancing recommendation are at increased risk of COVID-19 transmission.
Okay,
next
just
question.
A quick follow-up. Can I have a follow-up to that, please?
Sure.
But I'm talking about when you talked about projections for how many South Dakotans would actually get COVID-19. Within those projections, were there any? Did you do any factoring to say, well, we should recognize that there's a certain population, a certain number of workforce in close conditions. We should factor in the number of healthcare workers that may potentially get this. That's what I'm getting at. Is was there any inclusion of the possibility that you would have a possible COVID outbreak at some of these facilities and close quarter working conditions? Not changing the model now, but back when some of the original projections were made.
No, I mean, the statewide model is just that. It's at that macro level, so it doesn't take into account differences in population density, by specific jurisdictions or specific counties. It's an overall potential impact to the entire state with a specific focus on hospitalization beds needed and utilization.
Next question.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
Next question.
Black Hills Pioneer.
Go ahead.
Dr. Clayton, I was hoping I could get a clarification from something I thought you said yesterday. I believe you said we're still looking at 5,000 beds needed at the peak. I wonder if that is still accurate or if it's now down to 2,500 beds as indicated on the website. And then secondly, what is the guidance given to frontline units, paramedics and such, for reusing PPE, the N95s, gowns, such as that?
So thank you for offering the opportunity for clarification on the bed capacity. So you're exactly right that the information that's available on the website is the most current. So we are anticipating that the number of hospital beds needed at the peak would be lower than the initial projection of 5,000 and be closer to 2,500. But we are still planning for 5,000 hospital beds that would be needed at our peak. Again, the focus would be to make sure that we are prepared to meet, any increased eventuality in number of cases and number of beds that would be needed. So it is the difference between what we anticipate based on existing data out there and what's been seen in other jurisdictions, such as New York, versus what we're planning for. So thank you for that allowing me to clarify. As far as the reuse of masks, there is guidance out there from CDC that talks about reuse of masks and other protective equipment, not just specifically for EMS providers, but also for healthcare in general. I know there has been some other information that has been pushed out by specific medical groups. University of Nebraska Medical Center is one of those that pushed out reuse, PPE reuse guidelines. So there is some information out there that folks in the healthcare field and first responder fields can refer to.
Next question.
Ben Chase, the Huron Plainsman.
I heard the Huron Plainsman.
Yes, I noticed that the last 3 days we've had recovered cases over 100 and averaged nearly 100 for the week. Is there anything you can attribute the larger, I mean, that's a spike of, I mean, a really good day was 50 prior to that. Is there more contact tracing due to increased staff? What would you attribute that to in the last week?
Yeah, so as far as the increase in the recovered cases, that really is a product of individuals who had initially developed illness being, you know, that minimum of 7 days out from their symptom onset. The release from isolation guidance is a minimum of 7 days after their symptom onset, plus a minimum of 3 days after their any fever that they may have had, plus a general improvement of symptoms. And so a little bit of the product of what you're seeing in terms of our number of individuals who have recovered is that those individuals have met that release from isolation guidance and we're happily seeing that individuals are recovering from this virus.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
I think I heard Lisa with the Argus.
Yep. Just wondering if there is any new cases connected to the beef plant in Aberdeen.
So we have are always in the process of looking at and investigating new cases. What I have as far as an update for the DemCoda beef facility in Aberdeen is that we have 9 cases that what I'll say is associated with that facility. Those are 9 workers. Now, recall that we do not have a way of differentiating individuals who may have had their exposure at work versus community settings. So that 9 number. But that 9 number is the number of cases that we currently have at this time.
Okay.
Next question.
Kelly Hurst.
Michael from Keller.
I heard a Kelly.
Yeah. I noticed in the last 2 days, Turner County has gone up by 7 cases, which almost doubles their total. Is there any information you can add to that?
So we are actively looking at individuals within Turner County. We don't have a specific update, for those new 7 cases, but continue to work with the cases, identify those close contacts, and any businesses that may be impacted within that county. The focus there is that we've not had to do a public notice as we've had to do in other jurisdictions, so there's no larger risk of spread of COVID-19 to the community from those cases that have been identified through our investigation.
Next question.
Michael from Kello.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to clarify, Dr. Clayton, earlier you said 801 Smithfield employees, including 206 contacts. The 206 is in addition to the 801. Is that right? And then also I was wondering if you had a count on hospitalized and deaths related to the plant.
So that is correct that we have 801 employees that are part of the cluster. And an additional 206 close contacts to those 801 cases that they themselves became cases. We do not specifically provide updates for the specific clusters like this for hospitalizations or anything like that. But the overall, what we do have for hospitalizations, we have 58 individuals who are currently hospitalized, and so that that is the information that I have for you at this time.
Currently hospitalized overall in the state, right?
58 that are currently hospitalized overall, correct. That's a subset of the 119 hospitalized that have ever been hospitalized.
Okay.
Final question.
This is Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Why was the CDC unable to find information about the workstations of the confirmed positive cases at Smithfield? I mean, was it Smithfield or the Department of Health's responsibility to provide that information to them?
I'm going to defer any specific questions related to the Smithfield report to the governor's briefing today. I don't have a specific answer that I can provide at this time.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you all for joining us today, and we will visit with you again tomorrow.